lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here this Lord's Day. We thank you for the reason that we have each and every week to gather, and that is the gospel of your Son, Jesus. As you have revealed it so clearly in your holy word. We pray that you would bless our time this morning. That those of us who have trusted in Christ, that our faith would be strengthened. That our faith would be grown. And that we would be molded to be more like your Son. For those who are here today who do not know Christ, we pray that seeds would be sown, seeds would be watered, and that you, by your Holy Spirit, through the Word, would bring forth faith and repentance. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. As you're able, please stand in the honor of reading and hearing God's Word. Before I read it, I want you to pick up on a few things as we read and as I retell the story. So I want you to notice some things in the story. So number one, notice the character of the Redeemer. And number two, notice the experience of human kindness. Number three, notice the astonishing effect of grace. And number four, notice the anticipation of more great things to come. Well, note, as you read the story, you should notice how those themes are interwoven within it. So we'll begin in verse 1. Here's what it says. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of the grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, eat and eat some bread, and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours and one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. When I was a teenager, I remember, like many during that age, I was searching for something. I had not been in church for a while. My family was not churched when I was very young, but my mom had begun going to church, and I just wanted nothing to do with that. But I remembered I was searching for something. And in God's providence, I eventually showed up at the First Southern Baptist Church of Mattoon. And I was still searching. I was searching for meaning. I was searching for purpose. I was searching for salvation, even if I was not fully aware that those were the things I was looking for. And when I arrived at that small Southern Baptist church in Mattoon, Illinois, I had no idea what I would find there. But in God's time, I found grace. I found favor. I found purpose. I found hope. I found the God of the universe who dwells among his people. And when we look at this passage, we notice that there is a search going on. There is a seeking after something. You have to remember that Naomi had went away to Moab. And she was full, and she lost everything. And once she had heard that the Lord had visited his people and ended the famine, they started to journey back home. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, who was also widowed, decided to go with her and remain with her and remain faithful. And they went back home. And I'm sure they wondered, what would they find when they got there? What would God's people be like? What would the God of Israel be like? What would he do? Would he provide for them? Would the people of the land show them mercy? A widowed group of women, a poor group of women, would they be shown mercy? And I think if we were to ask a question more direct to ourselves, when we come back to God, when we return to God or return to his people, we often ask ourselves, what will we find? Will these people really worship the God that they claim to worship? Will they show me mercy and grace? Will they show me forgiveness? Perhaps I burnt bridges before I come back. Will they build those bridges back up and show me mercy? And what will God and his Son be like? Will I find in them the salvation that I desperately need, the hope, the forgiveness, the grace? These are all questions that this passage addresses, and they are important questions, are they not? Very, very important questions. And to answer them, I want us to see a number of aspects of this story. So to begin with, see the pursuit of favor. See the pursuit of favor. Our story starts off by naming somebody. And that man's name is Boaz. We are told that he is a relative of Elimelech. That in fact he is of the very same clan. We are also told that he is a worthy man. That is, he is upright. He is a godly, God-fearing man. And Ruth, we are told about her again. And it is mentioned a number of times throughout this chapter that Ruth is a Moabite. Why does it mention that? It's clearly important. We know Ruth is a Moabite already if we read chapter 1. But multiple times it is said that Ruth the Moabite, Ruth the Moabite from Moab. And we are told that she came and she talked to her mother-in-law and she asked if she could go glean among the fields. Now, gleaning was a practice where those who were either poor, widowed, orphaned, sojourning in the land, they were permitted to go out and take from the excess of the farms of those in Israel. And in fact, the farmers were supposed to leave aside sheaves for them to glean from. We find this law in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. It says this, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord." Because God had shown grace to his people by delivering them from Egypt, even while they were yet slaves, God's people, in response and in gratitude, were to show grace and favor to the poor, to the widow, to the orphan, and to the sojourner. And Ruth is thinking, perhaps even naively, that God's people would actually do what they were told to do. You remember in chapter 1, we were told that this was during the days of the judges. Israel was not great during the days of the judges. They were not the most faithful group of people. They went through cycles of disobedience and God delivering them. But Ruth had heard of the God of Israel. She had heard of God's holy law. She desired to be among that people with her mother-in-law. She desired to have the God of Israel, the one true God, as her God. And she believed that perhaps God, someone among God's people, would take God's word seriously. She was going and she was searching for favor. She was searching for grace. She says that in verse 2. "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.'" She was going and she was looking and pursuing favor. So she set out and she began to look. So we have seen the pursuit of favor. Now, see the provision of favor. See the provision of favor. And to do that, consider the arrival of Boaz. We are told that Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he began to speak to his reapers. He told them that, he said, "The Lord be with you," and they answered, "The Lord bless you." This interchange kind of shows this idea that Boaz is just a very devout man. We are already told he's worthy, but we are seeing it in practice. He treats people with dignity and respect, and he wishes that God would bless them. And then he spots. He spots this woman in the field. She likely stuck out like a sore thumb because she did not look like the people of Israelite. Because again, we are told that she is a Moabite from Moab, in case the author wanted us to forget, or didn't want us to forget. And we are told, I did skip a portion in the previous verse, where we see a hint at God's providence here. Look at verse 3. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Was it chance who led her to the field of Boaz? We as Christians do not believe in chance. We do not believe in luck. To her, it seemed that she just happened to arrive there. But as we watch and as we listen to what people in the story say, the credit, the provision, goes to God himself. And Boaz is told that this woman is the Moabite. He is told that she asked to glean among the sheaves and that she has been working diligently from morning until he had arrived and had taken a short rest. Also consider the acknowledgement of Boaz. So Boaz doesn't just spot this woman. Once he hears who she is, he actually goes up to her and begins to speak. And what he says is that she can go out and glean among the fields and that she should not go to any other field. And when he says this, we read in verses 10 through 12, look there. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Verse 11, but Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." So when Ruth is acknowledged by Boaz, she is astonished by the favor that he would show her. He did not want her to go to any other field but his. He had in fact put her under his protection and encouraged her to come back and get as much food as they needed. And when she asked, "Why? Why would you show me such favor, even though I am a foreigner?" Now remember, last week we talked about this. Israel and Moab were not friends. Moab was among the pagan nations that God commanded Israel to drive out of the land of Canaan. They sacrificed children to their god. They oppressed the people of Israel. They sent prostitutes out to lead the people of Israel away from God and his law. And yet, Boaz is showing this Moabite woman favor. She thought that she might get favor, but she's shocked by it still. "Why would you show me favor?" Boaz shows her favor because he believes that is what God would do for her. He believes that. He believes that though she might look like a Moabite, and she is by blood a Moabite, she sure doesn't act like one. Rather than leading people astray from the God of Israel, she instead has rejected her idols and embraced the God of Israel. She took on the faith of Abraham, their father, That is Boaz's ancestor. She had a true and a genuine faith. And as James says, faith without works is dead, and Ruth does not have a dead faith. Her faith has propelled her to love her mother-in-law, to be devoted to her, to care for her, to join her people, and to worship her God. And Boaz wishes upon her that God would protect her, that God would provide for her, that God would take his wings and be a refuge to her. And also consider the altruism of Boaz. Boaz doesn't just do what the law requires. The law requires that simply just some of the sheaves on the field are left over for people to glean. But after, in addition to that, Boaz invites Ruth into his home to eat. He shares with her all good things. And then after she leaves, he actually instructs his workers not only to leave out the sheaves for her to glean in, but to actually take some from his harvest and leave it out, so that she would have plenty, have more than enough. Not just for her, but also for her mother-in-law. The kind of favor that Boaz shows is a favor that abounds. It is an abundant grace that he shows to Ruth. He instructs his men to not rebuke her. Even if she takes more than what is ordinarily allowed, he says, do not rebuke her. Do not assault her. And we are told that while she is there, she gleaned in that moment, in that day, more than a week and a half's worth of gleaning. That's approximately what an ephah of barley would add up to. So we have seen the pursuit of favor and the provision of favor. Finally, see the promise of favor. See the promise of favor. We are told in this story that she got her harvest. She had gleaned all that she could have. She was fed and she was satisfied, and she had more than enough to take back to her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law sees all that she has gained, and she asks, whose field did you go to? And we are told that she told her that it was Boaz. Again, we have been introduced to Boaz. Boaz has been described time and time again, and Naomi immediately recognizes his name. And she says in verse 20, look there. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living and the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our Redeemer. So when Naomi hears who it is, she first of all prays that this man would be blessed. And she says these words, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living and the dead. Now here's a question. Whose kindness is it that hasn't forsaken the living and the dead? Is it Boaz, or is it the Lord? Or is it phrased in such a way that we would assume that it's actually talking about both? That word translated kindness, it is the same word that is translated throughout the Old Testament to be steadfast love. God's covenant, faithful love, the love in which God pursues his people and gives them not only what they need, but beyond what they need, where he gives them himself. And Naomi seems to be acknowledging that it is God who is operating behind the scenes and making all these things come about. God's covenant faithfulness is being displayed in the day-to-day activities of Ruth as she gleans in the fields of Boaz. God has not left them. And on top of Boaz being a worthy man and a gracious man and a kind and godly man, Naomi also mentions that he is one of their relatives and one of their redeemers. He is a kinsman redeemer. And in the Old Testament, there are multiple ways to redeem people from poverty. There is redemption that can be done by taking vengeance when someone has slain your relative. That is permitted in the Old Testament. There is also a redemption in which another relative will buy back property for a relative who had to share or sell it during a time of poverty. There's another form of redemption where a more wealthy relative will buy back one of their own relatives who have sold themselves into slavery. And then finally, there is a redemption that comes through levirate marriage, which we talked about last week. And that is when a near relative marries the widow of one who's been deceased and provides the man who died with an heir. And we see that Boaz is one of the men of this family who is able to redeem Ruth. God is working in these events. He is there to provide them with favor. And Naomi instructs Ruth, keep going into those fields, for you will be protected. And in verse 23, we are told, look there, so she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. If you remember last week, we were told that when they arrived, it was at the beginning of the barley harvest. They had went away full and came back empty, but there was this anticipation of hope. The harvest was about to begin. And then it is described in the passage we have read this morning that God provided. You remember at the beginning I asked, what would Ruth and Naomi find when they went back home? What would God's people and the God of Israel be like? Or for us, when we return to the Lord, when we return to His people, what will we find when we do so? And the answer that our text gives is that the Lord provides favor. The Lord provides favor. We see this in the case of our story. If you remember, I told you before I even read the text to look at the character of the Redeemer. The Redeemer is Boaz. He is a worthy man. He is a righteous man. He is a devout man. He is a gracious man who imitates the steadfast love of God. I told you to consider the experience of human kindness. Whenever they receive God's or receive the kindness of Boaz, they are astonished, which would be the astonishing effect of grace. It can be appalling or surprising to receive grace. And then we see the anticipation of greater things to come. And where do we see that? We see that by the very fact that Naomi names Boaz as a redeemer. Ruth and Naomi are poor. Very poor. Not a little poor. Very, very poor. Only the most poor, the most vulnerable, the most weak would be those who were gleaning among the sheaves. And they were doing that daily just to get by. But it is mentioned here that Boaz is gracious, that he is upright, that he has already shown favor, and that he is one who can save them from their poverty, save them from their destitution. And Ruth is going to be around him every single day. There's hope in this story. The Lord provides favor. He is working in the background. He is working in the little itty-bitty details of his people's lives. He has not forsaken them. And we also see here that God's grace does not only extend to those who are Israelites by blood, but God's grace also extends to those who have saving faith. God provides favor. And there are three responses we should have to this that I want to give us in application. Number one, the Lord provides favor, so see it. So see it. I just want you to reckon with the fact that our God shows favor. We can start with the day-to-day favor. Our God provides us with our daily needs. He provides us with the air we breathe. He provides us with the food we eat. He provides us with the ability to work. He is the one who provides us with everything we need and then some. And on top of providing us with our daily needs, God has provided us with our greatest need. He has met our greatest need. We all need salvation. We all have fallen short of God's glory. We all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. But God, in His favor, in His grace, has provided us with His Son. We needed someone who could represent us, who was both God and man. One who could stand between God and men had to be both true God and true man, and Jesus was exactly and is exactly that. We need someone who could live in perfect righteousness and represent us as a perfect Messiah. And Jesus is a perfect Messiah. Though He has been tempted in every way that we have been tempted, He never sinned. He kept every one of God's laws perfectly. We also needed someone who could die for our sins, who could bear the penalty that we deserve, who could face down hell and overcome it. And Jesus did exactly that. He faced the fires of hell, beginning in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying that God would take the cup of His wrath from Him. But Jesus said, "Not as I will, but as you will." And when the betrayer came and betrayed Him, Jesus did not run away. He did not fight. He went. He went to fulfill the plan of His Father. He was mocked. He was beaten. His flesh was torn by the cat of nine tails. He carried His cross all the way to Golgotha. He had nails driven through His ankles and His wrist. He was hung on a cross. And even while on the cross, He prayed that His Father would forgive those who crucified Him. He did not curse those who were there. He could have came off the cross if He so decided to do so, but He knew. He desired to save sinners, and He had to make full payment. So the Son of God died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. And on the third day, because we need a living Savior who can continue to stand before God, He rose from the grave. And thus, when we think about who Jesus is as God's Son and as true man, as we think about what He has done, being without sin and dying on the cross, we should just see that our God is a God who provides favor. He gave His only begotten Son so that you and I who are sinners might be saved. He gives us everything we need physically, and He has given us all that we need and then some spiritually. Number two, the Lord provides favor, so seek it. See it, now seek it. In response to the favor of God, knowing that it's true, having it presented to you, looking at it and considering it and reckoning it, the only right response is to seek to share in that favor that God so richly provides. Believer, seek God's favor by continuing to pursue after Christ. Receive the Word of God as it is proclaimed to you every week. Partake of the Lord's Supper. If you've not been baptized and you have believed in the Lord Jesus, be baptized. In all those things, God pours out His grace upon His people. Seek God's grace and favor among the people of God. Join a church if you haven't already. And if you are already a part of a church, be around the people. If you need help, ask for help. If you need counsel, ask for counsel. Get to know your church family. And the best way to start doing that is by being around them consistently. It's hard to get to know people when you never see them. Let me encourage you. You are here. That's the first step. But keep surrounding yourself with those who love the Lord. Boaz was a worthy and a righteous man. But we are never told that Boaz was a perfect man. In fact, we know that he wasn't because there was only one. It is true that when you join the people of God, you will notice very quickly, if you're around them enough, that none of those people are perfect. And when you look in the mirror, you'll acknowledge that neither are you. But God's grace is operating among His people. And they are growing day by day in the likeness of Christ. Sometimes they take a couple of steps back. Sometimes they take a lot of steps back. Sometimes they fall and backslide all the way back down the hill. But God will restore them, keep them, and provide for them. Do not try and walk the Christian life alone. And if you are an unbeliever and you have heard the gospel this morning, you have, I encourage you to seek the favor of the Lord by trusting in God's Son. Do not let go of Him. Seek Him now and be saved. And then thirdly, the Lord provides favor, so supply it. In Boaz, we have an example. Boaz preaches the grace of God, and he allows Him to be a channel through which the grace of God is given to others. We, as believers in Christ in particular, we, church, should preach the grace of our God. We should proclaim the gospel. We should proclaim the love of God to one another and to the lost. Let us keep doing that. But in addition to that, we, like Boaz, should seek to help whoever we find in need. Especially those among us, those in our community, those who we come in contact with. If we are able to supply a need, let us seek to do it and seek to do it speedily. And if we discover a need that we ourselves individually cannot take care of, let us call others in to help. Let us seek to supply favor. Let us seek to be the tools that God uses to bless people. God provides. So see it, seek it, and supply it. All of these applications, the big idea, we discovered it as we saw the pursuit of favor in our story, the provision of favor in our story, as well as the promise of favor in our story. And I told you at the beginning, when I was a teenager, and I arrived at First Southern Baptist Church when I was 16 years old, I was searching for something. When I walked through those doors, I had no idea what I would find in there. Would I find grace? Would I find love? Would I find the Savior? I didn't know what I needed even, but I was seeking those things. And many of you know what that's like too. What I found was that the Lord provides favor. The people of First Southern Baptist Church were channels, were tools that God used in the hands of our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be hands, or let us rather be tools in the hands of our Redeemer. May we realize, may we reckon with the truth and live in light of the truth that the Lord provides favor. Let's pray.